Good evening, everyone, and Merry Christmas. Thank you guys for coming out. If you're a guest or visiting, we're happy to have you and excited to celebrate Christmas Eve with you this evening. We're going to start our service off with just a quick reading of Scripture and a word of prayer. So if you want to turn in your Bibles with me, I'll be reading from Luke chapter 2, 1 through 20. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem. Because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night, and an angel of the Lord appeared to them. And the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And an angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, for I bring you great joy that will be for all people. For unto you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you, that you will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and a baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child, and all who heard it wondered what the shepherds had told him. But Mary treasured up all of these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, and it had been told. Dear God, we thank you for tonight, for what tonight represents, and Jesus for being willing to give up the glory and the splendor of heaven, the comfort of heaven, and sacrificing it all to come down and live for 33 years on earth, God, just so you can be made a sacrifice for us. We thank you so much, Jesus, for that sacrifice and for what this day means for us as Christians, that you decided to come down from heaven and take the most humble form as a baby. God, we just thank you so much. God, I pray that tonight and tomorrow we remember this truth, God, and that we cherish every moment and look to you during these holiday seasons, God. And I pray a blessing over everyone here tonight, that you would just be with them and comfort them throughout this holiday season. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you so much. Merry Christmas. Thank you so much for being here. Great to have Sarah and Sharon and Bethany and Martha all with us, the Wilkerson family, leading us in worship and sharing a couple specials. Thank you so much for being with us this evening. I'd like to share just for a few minutes, not a long time, just a short devotional from God's Word this evening. You all have your Christmas shopping done yet? I hope so. I certainly hope so. But you're in trouble if you don't. If the presents being purchased and delivered and under the tree on time was up to me, oh man, it would be a very disappointing Christmas morning in the Thing household. I'm thankful for Amy. She does such a great job, knows what to buy the kids, where to buy it, when to buy it, and does an excellent job with that. Even balances the number of gifts, where each person can open a gift in a circle, and then by the end everybody has finished at the same time, if the math is done properly. But I'm not completely useless. I mean, I'm useless, but not completely useless. I help wrap some of the presents. We'll do that together. Anybody any wrapping left to do this evening? All right. A couple of you procrastinators. We've got quite a bit to do later on this evening. But, you know, some of the best gifts, some of the best, very best gifts are planned in advance. Right? They're the ones that are usually the most thoughtful. They're usually the gifts that we're most excited to give and to see the other person open up and enjoy. Well, the greatest gift ever given is the gift of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. The baby, as Ricky read about moments ago from Luke's narrative there, the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger, the eternal Word made flesh, the greatest gift ever given. As John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life." God gave us the gift of His Son some 2,000 years ago, right? And as I said, some of the best gifts, including the greatest gift ever given, they're planned way in advance. And I want to take some time and trace that gift of Jesus, trace that plan of redemption all the way back to its origin, to the moment that it was thoughtfully conceived. So, got to kind of jump in the DeLorean time machine. You guys with me with that reference? Okay. We're traveling back in time, going to travel back some 700 years before the birth of Jesus Christ. Through the prophets, God promised that a Savior would be born. Isaiah 7:14 says, "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call His name Emmanuel." Likewise, Isaiah 9:6 says this, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon His shoulder, and His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." So God promised the gift of a son, one who would reign in wisdom and in power and in love and in peace. But that's not the origin. We still have to travel a little bit back further into time, some 1,000 years before the birth of Christ, to a time when David sat on a throne in Jerusalem. In 2 Samuel, God gave this covenant to David, 2 Samuel 7. God said, "When your days are fulfilled and you lie down with your fathers, I will raise up your offspring after you, who shall come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever." So God promised that through David, through his line, Messiah would come, and His kingdom would be established, His throne would be established forever. Okay? So we've traveled quite a ways back, but we got to go further back still. A date 2,000 years before the birth of Christ. Genesis chapter 12, God makes another covenant, a covenant with Abraham. He says, "Abraham, go from your country to the land that I will show you, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing." And then God says this, "Abraham, in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." Paul called this in Galatians the gospel in advance to Abraham. God promised that salvation would extend to every tribe and language and people and nation. But we got to go back further still. Okay, we got to go back to the very beginning, some 4,000 years before the birth of Jesus Christ, all the way back to the Garden of Eden. Remember, Adam ate that forbidden fruit and he plunged the entire human race into sin. But in Genesis 3:15, God gave this announcement. He announced this to Satan, the ancient serpent, saying, "I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." God promised Eve that one of her offspring would deliver a fatal, crushing blow to Satan, to the head of the serpent. But in the process, Satan would cause Christ, as the offspring of Eve, would cause Christ to suffer. Jesus was born to die. He was destined for the cross. It was on the cross that He shed His precious blood for us, and He rose again to provide forgiveness of sins and eternal life. So we've gone back 6,000 years, right? Some 6,000 plus years. We still haven't arrived at our destination. Did you know that the plan of redemption was conceived even before creation? Even before the creation of man, even before the creation of the world. Ephesians 1 says, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing. He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world. In love, He predestined us for adoption to Himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of His will, to the praise of His glorious grace. Right, so God already knew, being omniscient, He knew that sin would enter into His perfect creation, so He devised this plan, the plan of redemption, a plan to deliver us, to rescue us, to save us. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Best gifts, they're planned in advance, including the greatest gift ever given, which is Jesus Christ. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and then He died in our place on the cross and rose again. That plan, that thoughtful plan, that meticulous plan dates all the way back to eternity past. Don't miss this though. At that moment when the plan was conceived, you were on God's mind. That's amazing, isn't it? God was thinking about you when He devised this plan of redemption. He gave His Son so that you might have a personal relationship with Him. That's the heart of God. God longs for every person He's created to have that personal relationship, to open the gift of salvation, receive it for themselves, and enjoy it in this life, yes, but enjoy it for all eternity. So may we go out from here tonight just praising God and giving Him thanks for His indescribable gift. That indescribable gift is Jesus. Now, Father, we love You. We praise You. We thank You for this gathering tonight. I just love it. I love the candlelight service. I love what it's all about. God, I pray that You would get the glory, the honor, and the praise. We thank You for Your sovereign grace that chooses and draws and provides salvation. And it's that salvation is for all eternity. Thank You for thinking of us. I pray that we'd center our hearts on You during this service, later tonight, and through the day tomorrow. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
So tonight, as we prepare to take part in communion, why we take time to do that at Christmas service? As we prepare to do that tonight, I'd like to take a moment to think back to the offering of Abraham, offering his son Isaac, and consider some of the parallels between Abraham sacrificing his son and God the Father sending His Son Jesus as a sacrifice for our sin. And Pastor Dan talked about this some on Sunday. In Genesis 22, verse 4, it says, "On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. Then Abraham said to his young men, 'Stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you.' And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on his son Isaac. And he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So they went both of them together. And Isaac said to his father, 'Abraham, my father.' And he said, 'Here I am, my son.' He said, 'Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?' Abraham said, 'God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son.' So they went both of them together. When they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built the altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, 'Abraham, Abraham.' And he said, 'Here I am.' He said, 'Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me.' And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the name of that place, 'The Lord will provide.' As it is said to this day, 'On the mount of the Lord it shall be provided.'" Abraham took his son Isaac to the mountain there in the land of Moriah to sacrifice his son in obedience to the Lord. This was his son that was promised to him by the Lord to be his heir, his offspring, of which He would make a great nation. That's why in Hebrews 11, verses 17 through 19, it says, by faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promise was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, through Isaac shall your offspring be named. He considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. So Abraham obeyed God in faith. God provided a lamb in the place of his son. And God provided us with the perfect Lamb of God, his son, Jesus Christ, to take the punishment for our sins. So today, as we celebrate the coming of our Savior, who was a baby who was laid there in that manger, fully man, fully God, we celebrate that baby who would ultimately grow up and willingly lay down his life on the cross as a sacrifice for our sins. That's why John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. One of the questions in the historic Heidelberg Catechism asks, can another creature, any at all, pay this debt for us? No. To begin with, God will not punish any other creature for what a human is guilty of. Furthermore, no mere creature can bear the weight of God's eternal wrath against sin and delivers others from it. That's why Jesus provided for us. He provided the lamb, just as he provided a lamb that day for Abraham and Isaac as they gave the offering. God provided us with the lamb of his son, Jesus Christ, being fully God, fully man, to come and to take our punishment upon himself and to die in our place. And that's why Hebrews 9:26b says, but as it is, he has appeared once for all at the end of the ages to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. That's what he came to do. So tonight, as we remember communion, Jesus said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. As we partake of the bread, we remember Jesus' body given to take the punishment for our sin. Remember that Jesus came and he took our place. He gave his body for the punishment that you and I deserve. He also said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this often as you drink it in remembrance of me. As we partake of the juice, remember Jesus' blood that was shed for our sins. Remember the blood poured out of Jesus' body as they placed the crown of thorns upon his head and as they drove the nails into his hands and his feet. He shed that blood. He gave that blood for the forgiveness of our sins. In Isaiah 53:5. Reminds us, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. That sweet little baby that Mary held and kissed would be the one to bring light to this dark world by being pierced for our sins. Joseph's son, whom he held with great pride and joy, would bring light to the world by facing the darkness head on as the hands and feet of Jesus were pierced with the nails. And as he hung there and he suffered and he died. And he bore the weight of the sin of the world upon himself. So as we prepare to take communion tonight, 1 Corinthians 11:27-28 reminds us, so then whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink of the cup. This is a very serious time, so I'd like to give us all a moment to stop and to examine our hearts, to confess any sin between us and the Lord, us and others, and to make things right between us and Him as we prepare to take of communion. Father in heaven, as we prepare to take communion, Lord, we stop when we remember the reason for it, that the little baby who came in the manger ultimately came to sacrifice his life, to willingly lay down his life on the cross for our sins. And Lord, you are the only one who is worthy to do this because you are the perfect Lamb of God, the Son of God who came to take away the sins of the world. Lord, we thank you so much for that. We ask that you would forgive us of our sins and our failures, our shortcomings, Lord, as a country, as a state, as a church. Lord, forgive us for things we should have done that we have not. Opportunities you gave us to proclaim your name, to stand up for righteousness that we have not taken. Forgive us, Lord, for things that we have said and done that we should not have, Lord, for the sins we have committed in our heart. And as we come before You tonight, Lord, we want to be clean vessels. We want to be pure before You because we know that You are a holy God. And Lord, we know this is only possible because of the cross. Lord, that if we confess our sins, You are faithful and just to forgive us. And Lord, we ask for that even tonight. And we pray and ask this in Jesus' name. At this time, we're going to prepare to partake in the communion. So as we do that, if you guys are going ahead and take a moment, we'll get all the racket over and done with of peeling off the top layer where the wafer is, and then the second layer where the juice is. Give everybody a moment to do that and to prepare for taking part in communion. And before we take part in communion, I'd like to pray and ask God to bless these elements. Father in heaven, we do thank You so much for sending Your Son Jesus. Lord, thank You that He gave His body on the cross for our sins. And Lord, we thank You that He shed His blood, that He gave His blood, His life source for us to take away our sins, to give us forgiveness and allow us to be able to stand in Christ's righteousness. Lord, we thank You and we praise You for this tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Corinthians 11:24 reminds us of the when Christ gave bread, and it says, "And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, 'This is My body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of Me.'" Then in 1 Corinthians 11:25, "In the same way, after supper, He took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in My blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of Me.'" Here at Christmas, we seek to be obedient to the Lord's command to, as often as we eat and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. We celebrate tonight and tomorrow as we celebrate Christmas, the coming, the first coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But we know that He resurrected and He's risen. He's back in heaven with His Father. We know that one day He's going to come. He's going to rapture the church. And then one day He's going to come back in His second coming and take His bride, the church, to be with Him. And we look forward to that day. So until that time, as we think about Christmas, it's our responsibility to continue to proclaim the Lord's death, to proclaim it to our family, to our friends, to share the gospel, the hope that we have at Christmas. So let's continue to do that. This time, Pastor Dan will come and lead us in the lighting of our candles.
All right. The moment all the children have been waiting for. I used to love this as a kid. I want to do it a little different this year, and I think we can pull it off. I think we got this logistically. I'd like for us, usually what we do is we'll light the candles in the front and then the light goes back, but us folks in the front never get to see the light go to the back, right? So if we form a circle this evening, I know, a little logistically challenging. We got this though. If we form a circle this evening, all the way out around the outer sides here, and then we'll connect them somehow through one of the back pews. Y'all got this. It'll be good. It'll be neat because we'll drop the lights, and then we'll be able to actually watch the light, the imagery there of the light spreading around the auditorium. So let's go ahead and do that while the lights are on. I think that makes sense. If y'all would kind of do your best, stay as family clusters so we can all fit around, and I think we can do this. If some of you would come over here, like Amy, come this way. The Huffman, yeah, there we go. And then we'll need to connect them in the back somehow. One big happy family. This is good. Okay. Hey, Nate, can you pull some folks towards you and work your way towards the center? Yeah, make some room there. There we go. Yeah. If you all, some of you all can work this way a little bit, create some space. Yeah, it looks good. I told you had it. No problem. All right. Are we all safe and secure where we are? We can go ahead and drop the lights then. All right. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God and he was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The true light which gives light to everyone was coming into the world. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory, the glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. He was in the world, and the world was made through Him, yet the world did not know Him. He came to His own, and His own people did not receive Him. But to all who did receive Him, to those who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. A beautiful imagery that worked out great tonight. God bless you. Merry Christmas, everyone.